You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Starting chapter 4 this morning, we will follow with the Holy Communion here coming up. And our outline of this book, found in the Open Bible, which a few of you own, our progression has been, number one, we looked at the salvation of the believer. Number two, we've looked at the sanctification of the believer. That was part one. Part two was the submission of the believer, submission to government. You know, I neglected to say when we looked at that, I should have prefaced that with unless obedience to the government goes against God. I think I forgot to say that when I preached on that. I was saying that's why people get shot, is because they don't obey the government. They don't do what the government says. Obey the government and you won't get shot and you won't get killed and bad things won't generally happen to you. But when the government tells you to do something that's against God, that's a whole nother thing. Like, for instance, the state of California passed a new law outlawing singing in churches. And it's against the law to sing in church. Now, I'd say to you, with all good conscience, not to obey the government when they tell you to do that. When they tell you to wear a mask when you go into Publix, that's the law. You follow what the government says. But when they tell you you can't sing in church, or you can't pray, or you can't have church, or anything like that, that is when you do like Peter said, you decide. We're going to obey God, Peter said. And he still was obedient to the government. He let them whip him and put him in chains and give him 40 lashes. But he didn't go against God, so I should have specified that. Submission to government, submission in business, submission in marriage. We looked at that. We looked at married men who mistreat their wives. Peter says that their prayers are hindered. And submission in all of life. Now, part three of this letter is the suffering of the believer, including conduct in suffering. That is how to conduct yourself in the midst of suffering. Then Jesus' example of suffering. And we're right in the middle of that here of this part three here, this fourth chapter. Matter of fact, part three, suffering, will carry us all the way to the end of this book. So let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 4 and suffering. Starts with the words, therefore. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. So this is where Peter encourages us to be. Always using Jesus as our example. That this person has moved on, Peter is saying. Now this phrase, arm yourselves, really means to weaponize yourself. This is your weapon here, truly, is the mind of Christ. You know, like the old call of Paul Revere, right? Arm yourselves, they said. That's the kind of arms he's talking about. Weaponize yourself. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ. Now here's the second apostle to tell us this is possible. Philippians 2:5, Paul said the same thing. He commands it even. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took the form of a bondservant, and came in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we're commanded to possess it, the mind of Christ. Let this mind, he says. It's a command. But the good news is this. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The good news is you already possess this. You already have the mind of Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. In Colossians 1:27, you already possess this. So what is Peter saying here? He's saying that you have the capability of passing these tests the same as the Lord Jesus did, is what he's trying to say to you. Because he lives on the inside of you, and he will see you through suffering and trials in your life. So weaponize yourself with this. Weaponize your thinking. Like, if God be for me, who could be against me? Like, he who has begun a good work in you will see you through to the end until the day of Jesus Christ. Or else weaponize your thinking with, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That's your weapon. Arm yourselves. Or how about this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Weaponize your thinking and slay your giants. You've got it on the inside of you. You already have it. Don't pray, oh, I wish I had it. You already have it. That's the great revelation this morning. Satan doesn't want you to know. Where is that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. It's ours. Walk in it. Slay your giants. Here's what God showed me this morning in prayer. The mind of Christ is the Word of God. Think about it. The mind of Christ is the Word of God. All these scriptures I just read to you, they're all the Word of God. The Word of God is a name for Jesus. He's the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. So arm yourselves with the mind of Christ is to arm yourselves with the Word of God. That's what it is. Now here in verse 3, he's going to speak some words that we all can relate to. Verse 3, it says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange." Listen to how prophetic this man is. 2,000 years ago. "In regard to these, they think," that is those that you used to hang around with back in the day, "they think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same flood of dissipation anymore, speaking evil of you." Sound familiar? Have you ever had that happen to you? Your former friends think there's something wrong with you because you don't hang around with them anymore? Or because you don't do the things that you used to do? Have you ever had that happen to you? You see, they are not going to make it to the promised land, and they want to bring you with them. They want to bring you with them. I am like the black plague to many of my old friends. I am the black plague to my own old church I grew up in. My church wouldn't let me give a testimony for all that God's done for me in my life. The old wretch that I used to be and who I am now, they wouldn't even return my calls and let me speak in that church. But if I went back being twice the son of hell that I used to be, the door would be swung open wide. But now, he says, they think it's strange that you don't run with them like you used to, and they speak evil of you behind their back. You see, this text here ought to describe you, all of you. It better describe you. The word of God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, back to last week, always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you for the hope that is in you. Church, you need to be going in the opposite direction that you used to be going. The whole definition of church, ecclesia, means called out ones. That's what the word church means. Called out of. That is, called out of this evil world and going in another direction. That's what the word means. Come out from among them. Be separate. Peter goes on. They will give an account to him as ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was pre... Oh, no, here we go again. For this reason, the gospel was preached to those who were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. All right, once again, Peter's the king at difficult verses. Is Peter saying that those that die without Jesus have another chance and will still have the good news preached to them, like this text appears to say? Answer, not on your Nelly. No, there is no second chance. Good Lord, you've had 99 already. How many more do you need? Second chance? You're way past second chance. Way past it. Second chance? Give me a break. 90-second chance, maybe. But not second chance. But rather, your 100th chance is right here and now, as long as it's called today. For you. And as long as there's breath in your lungs. But regarding Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let me say this. Once you see him, then it's too late. Either by you dying or his returning. Get this into your minds today. Once you see Jesus Christ, it's too late. Once you see him, then it's too late. That's why today, if you hear his voice, the Bible says, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, they tried me, and they saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they would not enter my rest. That's Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. Now, Peter has in mind here those that were spiritually dead, but then heard the gospel message and believed in that message. And indeed, they were dead when Peter wrote this. And they were judged by wicked men. Same way the Lord Jesus was judged by wicked men and have died. But like the text says, live according to God in the Spirit. So Peter's been saying all along that death is not the end for us. So let's make sure everyone understands that. Second chance, 50-second chance, 90-second chance. You're still breathing. The Lord is long-suffering. But once you see him, either by dying or him coming back, if you have not received him yet, it's too late. Once you see him, then it's all over. That's why he says, today. Don't harden your hearts. Call on the name of the Lord today. Receive him today while there's breath in your lungs. If you haven't done that yet, as long as it's today, you have the opportunity to receive him. If he's turned his back on you, you won't care what day it is, and it won't matter. He's not going to turn your back on you if you're here in his church. Someone's drawing you here. If you're listening in on the radio or watching, it's because he's drawing you here. Don't say no and refuse him that calls you. Receive him that's called you. And the Bible very well says in Romans chapter 1 that the time is going to come where he's going to give people up to a reprobate mind when he's not going to call you anymore. But if you're watching this, it's because something's inside of you has drawn you. And man, oh man, you got to respond to that. Respond today. It costs you nothing. It costs him everything. Costs you nothing. The crime over humanity is this, is that God loves you. That's the crime. God loves you. Right? Amen. That's all you got to do. Call on the name of the Lord. The charge over all of you today and all of you watching on Facebook is that God loves you. Not sin. He died in your place for sin. God loves you. All we have to do is receive that. Call on the name of the Lord. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart one believes. That's, I believe this message. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Not guilty. With the mouth confession is made. That is, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father and his angels, which are in heaven. You want to make for a nice Sunday today? Have Jesus call your name out in heaven today. Doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any better than that. And as I wrote here, Peter's been saying all along that death is not the end. All right, now the next paragraph. We got time, don't we? All day. Yes. Next paragraph has the heading, Serving for God's Glory. Verse 7, let me read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. But most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. How can Peter say the end of the world is coming soon? And here we are 2,000 years still living in it. How can he say that and still be right? And the Bible still be factually true? Very easy. God doesn't view or reckon time the same way that you do. Once Jesus was taken up into heaven and a cloud received him out of the sight of those who were watching, once that happened, this world has been on high alert ever since. It's all the same day to him. That's how he can say this. He could come back at any day. He could come back at any time, and he could blast my supposed theology, Darren, right out of the water. Because I don't know when he's coming back. I think there are still things that have to happen, but I've been wrong so many times. God help me. He could come back today because he's gone. Amen. Right, Bill? Who am I to argue with him? That's how he can say this. The end of the world is coming soon. He said that these things would be going on in the world. Prior to that, it says, many will come in my name. Jesus says, many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They'll deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But do not fear. These things must take place, but the end is not yet. Nation or ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences like the coronavirus, and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the beginning of the birth pangs, and more are to come. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, killed, hated all over the world because you're my followers. Many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And then many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. And the same reason why it's preposterous that you would gleefully follow Peter's instructions to share your house and a meal with strangers is the same reason the end of the world is coming soon. It's prophetic, he says. You're not going to want to invite people into your house to have a meal. The love of many will wax cold. It's not just even one of those things that, well, I don't know. I better not help this guy with a flat tire over here. That's prophetic. That's a sign that you'll know Jesus' return is near, is when we stop loving one another. Just remember, again, my new catchphrase, but it's so, oh, so vitally true. Once you see him, then it's too late. Once you see him, then it's too late. Either because you're dead and you're standing naked before him, or because you guessed wrong. And behold, the master's return. Once you see him, then it's too late. The rock which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Maybe you say, well, that doesn't make sense with what you just said. Well, I'm trying to be led by the Holy Spirit when I write down what I share with you. And I might choose to move on, and God might say, oh, no, we don't, friend. We're going back to where you were, and you didn't spend enough time. He wins. So we're going back to where I didn't spend enough time. Once you see him, then it's too late. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you prepared to die or meet him in the sky? And it's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice what you're going to do, what your response is. Now, I'll try to move on. Let's look at verse 8 for a moment. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So does that mean if I love so-and-so, then God will forgive them of their sins? No, not at all. That's not what that means. It means that by fervently loving a brother or sister, you are more capable or prepared to overlook their sins against you. God gave me the picture of love covering a multitude of sins is Noah lying naked in his bed. And when he was asleep and in a stupor, most of his sons came and they took a blanket and covered him up. It was a terrible, embarrassing thing to be naked back in that time. That's love covering a multitude of sins. fervently loving your brother or sister or your mother or your father. You can cover their sin, or like a sheet over someone that's passed away. You put a sheet over them. But you should always be ready to forgive insults and acts of unkindness. Love is always the answer. Apparently, from what he says, it's very powerful. And let me say, when you stop and take inventory of all that God has forgiven you of in your life, you'd be fully prepared to forgive your brother or sister. For your love for them will cover a multitude of sins. Your love can perhaps change a situation in a community. They can put a cover on someone's sin so that it's not out in the open anymore. Your love for them. And then again, of course, if you don't like that, there's the opposite. Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. So let that be a motivator as well, that God is going to use when it comes to judgment. God is going to borrow your mighty yardstick. What's your yardstick made of? Cast iron? You remember all the hurts everyone's done to you since Eisenhower was president? He's going to borrow your yardstick. That's why I encourage you, forgive. Forgive everyone that's ever hurt you, that's ever harmed you. Forgive as God has forgiven you. Forgive. Peter says, above all things.
That's all we're going to have time for here today. Pastor Paul here from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us. Heading into the weekend now. Hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. I invite you to Island Community Church this weekend. My most important sermon I could ever preach. I try to preach it once a year. I will be preaching that this Sunday morning. It's called The Doctrine of Christ. What do you know? What do you believe about the Son of God? The Bible says whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So the logical question should be, what constitutes the doctrine of Christ so that I can abide in it? That's where we're looking at Sunday morning, 10:30. Once again, we're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Sunday at 10:30, this is Island Community Church. I invite you, looking forward to seeing you this Sunday morning.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
When I feel the cold of winter, in this cloak of sadness, I need you. All the evil things that shake me, all the words that break me, I need you.